What's up, everybody? You're listening to a very special episode of No Coast Cinema here on WGN Plus. We are your guide to cinema here in the city of Chicago and all around the world. I'm Tom Hush, and this is just kind of a little bit of a mini-sode here to talk a little bit about the Chicago Critics Film Festival that I've been attending for the last couple of days. Now, this goes on all week. And started on May 4th. It's going to be going until Thursday, May 10th. Tons of screenings that you can go to, all very reasonably priced. And you don't need to have a festival pass to actually go. You can just purchase those tickets online at themusicboxtheater.com, or you can go to the box office and purchase your tickets there. It's very open, and at the screenings that I went to, there were tons and tons of people just there to enjoy the festival itself, along with many members of the Chicago Film Critics Association. As you might remember from our last episode, we had Eric Childress, who is the executive secretary of the Chicago Film Critics Association. He was there, as well as Brian Tallarico, who's also part of the board, introducing a lot of the screenings. I just wanted to touch on two very specific screenings that I went to that I really, really enjoyed and were really a fantastic kind of representation of what this festival is all about. So I'll start off with opening night. It was Friday, May 4th. It was fantastic. Such a great energy in the air, especially with the whole festival being held at the Music Box Theater over on Southport. One of my favorite theaters in the world. Really the classic movie palace sort of experience, and it's always a treat to be in there, and that they even had the organist playing as well, and it really felt like a proper, I don't know, cinematic experience, one that very rarely people get to have, but being so lucky as to live in Chicago and have somewhere like the Music Box, it was really fantastic to be able to go to a screening there. The film that I saw, the opening film for the film festival, was a fantastic piece called Fast Color. It's a feature length, rated PG-13 for anybody who's curious. It's directed by Julia Hart, written by Julia Hart and her husband Jordan Horowitz, and he also serves as the producer. Jordan Horowitz is the producer. You may recognize that name as being one of the producers of La La Land, which is a movie that some people are a little bit on the fence about. Personally, I really love La La Land. I think you have to respect at least the production value of La La Land, and Jordan Horowitz was part of that. And it stars Gugu Mbatha-Raw, who you probably have seen in things like A Wrinkle in Time. She also appeared as kind of one of the main characters in The Cloverfield Paradox, which was picked up by Netflix and was a whole thing around Super Bowl time. And she's a really fantastic actress and really great in most of her roles, even though when it comes to things like maybe The Cloverfield Paradox, wasn't super sold on. But her specifically, she is really great, and it's really great to see her in this film. So just to give you a little bit of an idea about what this movie is about, I'll just go straight up with the IMDb description. A woman is forced to go on the run when her superhuman abilities are discovered. Years after having abandoned her family, the only place she has left to hide is home. Now, the superhuman abilities thing has caused this movie to kind of get a little bit of an indie superhero movie sort of descriptor, or at least that's how people like to sell it a little bit. And the superhuman abilities part is relevant, very much so, to the story, but that really doesn't do the movie justice. I guess I'll just describe a little bit from my perspective how the movie really is. The world that these characters inhabit is our own. In the not-so-near future, it has basically stopped raining. Water is scarce, and the price is going up, and basically people are just struggling to survive. On top of this, we follow Gugu Mbatha-Raw's character named Ruth, and she has these kind of violent superhuman abilities. Essentially, she has what she calls seizures that cause mass destruction, in a sense. They cause, like, these earthquakes. And it's very dangerous to her, very dangerous to the people around her. We often see her tying herself up. She has frequently these kind of wounds on her wrists from tying herself up and the violent shaking that her body goes under during these episodes. One thing sort of leads to another, and she is on the run from the government, who want to harness this power, and she runs back home, a place that she abandoned a long time ago, to be with her mother and her daughter. Just to touch on her mother and her daughter, they are fantastically portrayed by Lorraine Toussaint, who plays her grandmother, or pardon me, her mother, named Bo, and then Saniya Sidney, who plays her daughter, Lila. One of the best parts of this movie, apart from the very original take on this superhuman abilities sort of thing, is the raw amount of, I guess, female energy, or at least female presence in this movie. These three main characters, this family is all women of color, and they just totally feel like a family on the screen. They have their own issues with one another. They have their own problems with kind of understanding their abilities and even understanding their own history. One of the really interesting parts of this movie is there is a book that kind of chronicles her family's history, I guess, with these abilities, and it goes back generations and generations, but it's generations and generations of women of color kind of dealing with not only being special, but also being ostracized from society, or having to ostracize themselves from society for being special. And not only, you know, could this be read as an analogy to being people of color, which is obvious, but is really worked, you know, it makes total sense. But also, it's a little bit of that, you know, to give a pop culture reference, it's that X-Men vibe, where people with special abilities, instead of being celebrated, or people who are different, instead of being celebrated, are feared. So I find that to be a really great part of this movie. And just like I said, the performances are all there. Gugu Mbatha-Raw is always fantastic. I particularly love Lorraine Toussaint as her mother. She just brings this very wise presence. It seems like she really, really, really inhabited the role very well. It was so great to see her interactions with her daughter. But also, you get these really great moments where Bo, the mother, the matriarch of the whole family, kind of doesn't know what to do. And she has to battle her own demons, and she's forced to be strong. She's been living with these abilities, I think she says, 53 years. And she's very much a realist, and she understands that the world is a dangerous place. And she wants to protect her daughter and her granddaughter from this, yet she totally understands that she won't be able to do it forever, especially because they are such strong-willed people. I really loved Saniya Sidney as Lila, the youngest of the three women. When it comes to child actors, you know, I think I'm not alone in saying that it can be hit or miss. But Saniya Sidney is clearly a very mature, young actor, and she really understood the gravity of the role, and she knew how to take this sort of family dynamic seriously. And, she doesn't play this as some sort of, like, willy-nilly superhero movie. She understands that this is kind of a subversion of a lot of those things. Speaking of subversion, is the interesting thing being in this movie, you know, when we think of movies about people with superhuman abilities, there's going to be this kind of, like, wanton destruction, as we see in things like Man of Steel or even all of the Marvel movies. Something's going to get absolutely obliterated. And there is a fair amount of destruction in this, but it's not celebrated, in a sense. It's not considered part of the, like, you know, superhero thing. It is feared. and is considered counterproductive, especially when these powers, as we come to learn, have sort of a different purpose. I don't know if I want to go too much into it because I want folks to find out themselves about what this movie is all about. But the destruction is bad. It is something that they are trying to avoid. Gugu Mbatha-Raw as Ruth is running from this destruction. It's considered a bad thing and she wants to get away from it. It's not glorified as, you know, collateral damage. It is the antithesis of the movie. We want to avoid destruction because the world is already destroyed enough. But it is a very, very competently directed piece of cinema. Really, Julia Hart and her husband, Jordan Horowitz, really crafted a very interesting take on this type of movie. And no less, it is fronted by three women of color that really inhabit their roles and do a lot of justice to this movie. I think towards the end, things, they try to wrap things up kind of quickly. I will say it's, you know, it's an hour and 40 minutes, but we spend a lot of time in the meat of the relationships, really, as Ruth kind of tries to reconnect with herself and reconnect with her family, which is really what we want. It's not a plot heavy movie. It's really about the characters, but I really enjoyed it. Hopefully it's going to get a wider release very soon, but I would definitely suggest keeping an eye on Fast Color, directed by Julia Hart, written by Julia Hart and Jordan Horowitz, and starring Gugu Mbatha-Raw, because I think with this kind of peak superhero place that we're in, this is a nice breath of fresh air. It's, you know, I don't want to sound cynical. It's not going to change your life, but it is going to give you a nice character-driven relief from things like, now that we are post-Infinity War, like, we've really seen it all when it comes to that style of superhero movie. So these smaller independent pieces that don't focus so much on the superhuman abilities part and have to make do with, you know, smaller use of special effects so that you focus on the characters, the superhuman part of it is kind of ancillary. It's, you know, it's part of the plot, it's part of the world building, and it makes things interesting, but it's really a movie about a lot about forgiveness, about how you forgive yourself, about how others forgive you, and how to kind of redeem yourself after you've maybe made a bad decision. The second screening I went to was the 25th anniversary showing of Jurassic Park, the original Jurassic Park. As many people know, we do have Jurassic World 2 coming out this summer. I don't know if I've spoken about it on the podcast at all, but I was not a huge fan of Jurassic World. I think it missed the point a lot. I think that it didn't really, it was a cash-in. I think they were just like, well, we can just bring Jurassic Park back because everybody loves Jurassic Park. And on some level, they're right. I think that's why Jurassic World was such a monumental success. And surely Jurassic World 2 will at least be a financial success, I think. I think we're going to see huge returns on that movie. But kind of in honor of that, and also with the fact that it's lining up with the 25th anniversary of the original Jurassic Park, the Chicago Critics Film Association worked with Universal to get a pristine 35mm print to show at the festival. As I was talking about before with the whole experience of being in the music box and watching it, I think it was even doubled when I went to this Jurassic Park screening because, you know, you're in this classic movie palace style theater. There's like 300 some seats. I don't know the exact number, but it's like 300 seats. And this was a matinee noon showing. And there were tons of people there with their families, specific, you know, with their kids. And it really allowed me to take in this, you know, feeling that I felt when I used to go to the movies when I was a kid. I would look around at all these kids waiting with anticipation for the curtain to come up and the reel to start going. And it was really kind of surreal. It was very strange to be looking at these younger kids being like, man, I remember when I saw Jurassic Park for the first time, how much it blew my mind. One of the best parts of going to this specific screening, too, was that Eric Childress, who was on the show, he came out and introduced the film, and he gave a really great sort of speech about how this movie really is a landmark in a lot of ways, not just for things like special effects, or, you know, financially speaking, it was an incredibly successful film. But Jurassic Park is one of those movies that really inspires people to get into filmmaking. And I really liked how Eric pushed that point home, that hopefully some of the kids, some of the young boys and girls in this audience will watch this movie and want to make movies of their own, because Jurassic Park just is one of those movies. And watching it again on this, again, almost pristine 35 millimeter print, I really felt those feelings again. And not to not to date myself somewhere, but I was not born when Jurassic Park originally came out. I wasn't born until later that year. So I never saw Jurassic Park in the theater. And there are many people who might be even be listening to this right now who never got the chance to see Jurassic Park in the theater. And I have to tell you, it is truly an experience. It's a movie I've seen a million times, but it still gets you when you're in this, you know, big auditorium. People are reacting. People are, you know, really enjoying this movie. And it really was just a treat. And that brings the whole thing together for me with this film festival, is that it's not just for the, you know, people who want to see cutting edge or, you know, fresh independent cinema. This is a film festival for everybody to discover or maybe rediscover something that they love about cinema and maybe inspire the next generation. So if you have not purchased any tickets to go to any screenings, if you haven't been to any screenings yet, I highly, highly, highly suggest it. There's plenty more going on even today, and it's going to be going on until the 10th. Connor and myself are going to be there as much as humanly possible, because there's just so much good stuff that we want to see. So thanks very much for listening to this little mini-so, this little recap of what I saw last couple of days with this film festival. Again, the films are Fast Color and the 25th anniversary screening of Jurassic Park on 35mm film. This is Tom Hush signing off for NoCo Cinema. We are your guide to cinema here in the city of Chicago, and we will talk to you very, very soon, probably at the end of the Chicago Critics Film Fest, to give some more of our impressions of what we saw in the festival in general. See you guys later.